'cause I'm gonna give you candy. Come on to my house, I'm gonna.
Welcome to Food for Thought. Join us for a thought-provoking glimpse into the world of the food that we savor. Meet the women and men who are growing it, foraging for it, raising it, cooking it, and who share it with the rest of us. Today's guest is Monty Cade. Monty is the founder and president of Lost Foods. Lost Foods is a nonprofit organization dedicated to restoring native plant diversity and abundance by informing the public about the many benefits of growing and using native plants. Monty, when did you first have an interest in native plants?
Well, I started off being interested in herbs as their medicinal values and was always really into learning the uses of plants. The more I learned about plants, the more I became excited about them. And it turns out that we live in a place that's considered a world hotspot for natural native plant biodiversity. So it only made sense for me to learn more about the native plants that evolved and are adapted to this local ecology. The more I learned about them, the more of them I learned, and the more important it seemed to continue learning about them.
Where did the term Lost Foods come from? Because that's the name of the organization.
Lost Foods came from the use of many of these plants is no longer known and is also in danger of being lost. So, and the culture and the tradition behind using these plants is being lost. And so I wanted to restore that knowledge. And then the more I learned about it, the more I realized that the plants themselves are also being lost.
Why are they being lost? I mean, is development, that sort of thing? What's going on with these plants?
The biggest cause for loss of native plant populations is the loss of habitat. And that's caused from deforestation, our agriculture practices, and urban sprawl all contribute to habitat loss. Native plants are like the structure of habitat.
And even if plants were recognized and valued, sometimes they're actually overvalued, and sometimes it seems like people can go out and they start collecting them, mm-hmm. and they can damage the plants.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. First, when I started the idea of Lost Foods, I wanted to reintroduce people to these foods by serving them to them and making products. And when I found out how rare they became, or that they are, the need for propagating these plants on a large scale, I recognize the need for that. So I don't encourage people necessarily to go out and gather a lot of wild foods from the wild. And if you do, like gather plants that are common and that aren't having a hard time surviving, I would like to encourage people to grow as many native plants and wild foods that they can and use them that way. And that way we actually help the native plant diversity and abundance. And at the same time, we can use these ingredients in our foods and not feel like we're taking plants out of the wild that have already been damaged and that are already struggling to survive.
And I think a lot of people, when I think about people who are trying to get some plants established in their yards, native plants are a natural choice because they're already adapted to this environment.
Yep.
Yeah, and I think one of the things that happens sometimes too is when the native plants are removed, a lot of invasive or exotic species are introduced into mm-hmm. the space that they used to occupy.
Exactly.
So that also taking up space.
Yeah, it seems like anytime you damage in a healthy ecosystem, there's such a high amount of non-native seeds floating around that they kind of move right into that damaged ecosystem. If like you had a big wound or a gash on your arm and all these like foreign and exotic diseases were floating around, they would naturally attack that cut and become established, and then problems happen like diseases and mm-hmm. invasions. And one of the benefits of growing native plants is that they fit the local ecology of this area. Usually native plants sprout during the rainy season and their roots establish themselves in the ground by the time the dry summer months come, which eliminates the use of pumping groundwater out. They're also adapted to the soils and the pests of the local area, so pesticides and fertilizers are very rarely needed. Non-native foods we plant them in the spring, right after the rainy season. And these non-native plants are very thirsty. And during the dry summer months, we irrigate our fields, pumping groundwater and damming rivers to feed our thirsty non-native foods. And these native foods naturally fit the ecology, so they do not use these resources, and they grow with a lot less work and resources are needed to grow them. By restoring our native food diversity, it creates a much more stable food system where these foods have evolved on these unique lands for thousands of years. They've been through climate changes and droughts and all kinds of things and have still survived. Non-native foods are much more sensitive to climate changes and pests and droughts and things of that nature. So learning to depend on our native foods would create a much more sustainable food supply, and it would add thousands of foods to our food supply, which would create a more diverse food supply that fits the local ecology.
You've worked to establish some sanctuary gardens. Tell me about those.
Yeah, the native plant sanctuary gardens. I adopted one from the city of Eureka on 2nd and 8th Street in Old Town, and it's around a city parking lot. And there's over 100 species of native plants growing there, and it's about to be the third year anniversary of that, so a lot of the plants are taking form and looking nice, so I would encourage people to go and visit there. One of the things that it became is a place for me to plant as many native species as I could in one place because I was lacking just the room or the property to do it. It becomes a living seed bank of our native food species right in town, where native plant diversity and abundance is very rare. From these sanctuaries, I can collect seeds and cuttings and even foods and propagate them in our nurseries and learn sustainable harvesting practices and ways to make these native plants healthy and learn about them. It's available for the public as well to learn about and identify these plants. And there's one more sanctuary on E Street and Grant in Eureka. The site is called the Whimsy Garden, and they allowed me to do a native plant garden on both sides of that, which is much larger scale. And also the sanctuaries not only become living seed banks, but they also become edible food forests eventually, where there's all varieties of native plants growing together, like ground covers, annuals, perennials, vines, bushes, and trees that produce foods and medicines and attract wildlife like birds and butterflies.
Let's talk about some of the edible plants, because we are a food show, so we're always interested in that. Some of the things that are in some of these gardens or some of our local native plants, like miner's lettuce,
mm-hmm.
That's something that's actually, I think, recently appeared on a Chez Panisse on their menu, you know, down mm-hmm. in Berkeley. It's kind of become a big thing, miner's lettuce.
Nice.
And that has always been a native plant here in Humboldt County.
Yeah. It sure has. It's a light green. It's kind of got succulent leaves and stems, and it's, I think it's in the purslane family. They actually grow it as a salad green in Europe.
Oh, okay.
So the greens and the stems are edible, and there's shiny black seeds, which are also edible.
And then there's always nettle. I've talked to so many people about, you know, I really want to try cooking nettle because, you know, nettle is stinging nettle. And so if you grab it with your hands, your bare hands, you're going to get a really bad reaction to it.
Yeah.
But I understand, you know, just a dip in some boiling water melts the crystals, and then you can actually use it as a green for making pasta with or something like that.
Yep.
Have you tried that?
Yeah. Nettles are probably one of the best wild greens to become familiar with, because they're so abundant and they're very nutritious and they taste very good.
Uh-huh.
So drying or cooking the nettles, the stinging nettles, gets rid of the sting.
Uh-huh.
And nettles is one of those herbs that they sell at the herb store
uh-huh.
because it's so nutritious that it's also considered a medicine, and it's high in so many different things. And it's kind of like one of those lost foods. Another thing about lost foods is that a lot of these foods that we use as herbs today were actually just used as foods in our daily human diet. So now that we've eliminated these highly nutritious foods from our diet, we label them as herbs, where they're just like highly nutritious foods that we would eat all the time.
So maybe we should get back there to eating the stinging nettles.
Yeah.
So this is Jennifer Bell, and I've been talking with Monty Cade. He's founder and president of Lost Foods, the nonprofit organization dedicated to restoring native plant diversity and abundance by informing the public about the many benefits of growing and using native plants. Thank you, Monty.
Thank you.
Great.
Jennifer.
If you have any questions or comments about this program, please call the listener comment line at 826-6089. You can hear this broadcast again at the KHSU website under archived programs at khsu.org. This program is also available on iTunes. Food for Thought is produced in the KHSU studios located at Humboldt State University. Our engineer is Jessica Eden and producer is Jennifer Bell. Join us again next Friday on KHSU for another edition of Food for Thought during the KHSU homepage.
Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you candy. Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you candy.